Welcome back to the Guardian Project podcast. This is episode 9. I am your host, Andy Flory, and I didn't think of a good intro this week.
I totally gave you one. WTF, what the frick? And I'm your co-host, Brian Leithhead, and I'm...
Fuck. Please listen carefully.
Cut. I totally froze. It was like a deer in the headlights. We're cutting this because mine is so good. Okay, hold on. Okay, ready?
This is being used.
All right. And I'm your co-host, Brian Leithhead, and I'm Belbiv Infect because that deck is poison.
That was really good.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
Too bad I screwed it up the first time.
And this is a podcast.
And cue music.
Please listen carefully.
And this is a podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
We talk about some things Magic the Gathering. It's very confined in 50 minutes.
You know, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to start out probably by talking about things that we did over the last week. And
one of
those things that I did is non-Magic related. So I found this podcast.
No. You just said we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
We do, but we start out with things that aren't.
Oh.
So the first thing that I have was I found a new podcast as well that you guys should check out. Really great. It's called the Liquid Courage Podcast. They break down every episode of Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Are you serious?
Yes. It is hilarious. So
I gotta listen to this as well.
That show is really great. If you haven't watched it, it was a very good cartoon on Cartoon Network. Watched all the episodes growing up. Great stuff. Good stuff.
Also
check them out.
Makes for a great meme format. Pretty much any episode.
Yes. Other than that, I don't think I had a whole lot else that happened in the past week. Other than, well, I guess I did. I received my final 2 foils for my Noyandar deck. So we are 100% foiled today.
What?
I got my Command Tower and Sea of Clouds today.
High five yourself, good sir.
Self high five.
That's
did it. We're 100%. That project has been going for just over a year. I finally have my first commander deck 100% foiled. I do like foils. They are good stuff. I mean, completely not necessary, but I do like them.
I mean, just like I like Japanese cards, completely unnecessary, makes my opponents mad, but you know, we do it. We love it.
We do it. What'd you do this past week?
You know, just boring old working on my house. We're getting it ready. Anxiety is kicking in. People are starting to yell at each other, but... You know what? We're having a good time.
We're getting married in 2 weeks? 2.5 weeks?
I'm not marrying you. If I could, I would.
Brian and I are not getting married, but we're basically already married.
I'm spreading fake news. We're getting married.
Yeah, so that's exciting. And house stuff. You just got counters, right? That's what you just did?
Yeah.
New counter
spell. 2 mana. Double blue.
You just cast Counterspell and new Counterspell.
Yeah, no, we ordered them. We also ordered the floor for our kitchen, so not there yet, but...
And didn't you sell some really odd colored furniture as well?
We did. We sold our avocado furniture, our fridge and our stove.
So
both GE stoves, but they... Back then, they're so old, I won't date them, but they went by General Electric, still on. So if you can guess that era, you're golden.
So you said somebody that was redoing a house in the downtown Detroit area was doing
retro?
An era type redo?
Yeah,
remodel?
we were super motivated to sell, and they were really excited to buy it because they were going for a retro theme and... retro theme downtown and so we sold them and we're gonna use that money for whatever
for counterspell perfect
or floor spell.
I hope that card is printed in the future and then we can circle back to episode 9 of this podcast.
Wizards, I want some incentives for that,
right? So what's on the agenda for this week?
So we got some Hogak news,
When don't we?
I know, that's all we've talked about, like, all 9 episodes. Okay, we're going to also mention an esports update that was just literally announced hours before this podcast recording. And then we're going to, also in that news was Rivals League, some Commander 19 updates, and then we're also going to talk some guessing game.
We're going to do a guessing game?
We're going to do a guessing game.
A guessing game about what?
Celebrities who played Magic.
Celebrities play Magic.
At Bowlerman Cometh is going to quiz at AT Flurry today.
Oh, yeah. Twitter handles. Well, before we get started, as always, we want to thank our listeners as we work to come up with new segments and topics. We cannot thank you enough for your continued support. Also this week, you may have seen online, we did create a Twitter account for the podcast. The handle is @GuardianPod. You can follow us for show updates and more.
And more.
So our first thing we're going to talk about is Hogak. So I guess that's related to Magic Fest Minneapolis.
That was quite a diverse top eight if you asked Tom Ross. I don't know if you happen to see his tweet.
No, what did he say? I mean,
it was like Gave Milltown or something, and then Hedron Crab Value.
Oh.
So top eight of Minneapolis, five out of the top eight were Hogak decks, and then seven out of the top 16 were also Hogak decks, so quite a diverse top 16.
Yeah, happy to see that diversity there. Yeah. Lots of good cards being used in Hogak. Hedron Crab, breakout star.
Yeah, the all-star that used to be in Mill is now in Hogak.
I guess it breaks parity. It's like, if you can land Hedron Crab first, you're probably going to win.
Well, yeah, they cut Altered Dementia for that card, so.
That's funny.
Yeah. So people are already dubbing this summer as the summer of Hogak. Andy, do you think that's a bit of an exaggeration or is it spot on?
It's probably close. I would assume it's probably not as bad as Eldrazi Winter was, because that was real bad, but, or at least it felt that way, but I don't know. I think it's pretty bad.
Yeah, you were either playing at that time, you were either playing Eldrazi of some variant or Abzan Company, because you could just combo off and they couldn't stop it.
Right.
This is like, you play Hogak or you just lose. Like, what's the point of playing?
I mean, I beat Hogak one time. I was playing against a Hogak deck. I was trying to play multiple game ones, you know, before sideboard. And I won one time. And I was playing Zoo, which is not a bad deck, but not tier one by any means. I won one time. If they land Hogak on turn two, you're like, well, it was a good one turn I had. Thank you so much for this game of Magic.
I used to be an adventurer until I took a Hogak to the knee.
It's rough. And until you see that deck in play, like in person, you're just like, oh, you know, I've watched it online, it's not so bad. When you actually feel it yourself, it's bad.
Yeah. Ooh. Turn two Hogak, very common, does not feel good.
Yeah, I don't. So I would say it's not an exaggeration. This is Hogak summer, just like we had Eldrazi Winter, the set at, well, when Battle for Zendikar came out. No, Oath of the Gatewatch came out.
Yeah, Oath really took off.
It was Oath.
Yeah, this does not feel good. And I was wrong. I thought that Hogak was dead. It is not dead.
did not die.
Yeah, because he's in the graveyard and you can only cast him from the graveyard.
Yeah, so even when it dies, it feels like it still comes back.
Yeah. So all the pros online, not all of them, some pros and many people on Twitter are calling for an emergency ban.
I believe Aaron Forsyth actually said, we're not doing it.
Nope. August 26th.
We're like 2 weeks out. I mean, it's not going to change in 2 weeks.
Now, unfortunately, we have two major events. We have GP Birmingham, which is in London. It's in England. And then we have GP Vegas, which is in, you know, obviously.
Okay, so do you think it's because they really don't think it's that bad, or because we're so close to two major events that they don't want to make people have to get brand new decks?
Well, I think it's a combination of, A, we just released the card in June, and we're 2 weeks away, so people can just kind of, I don't know, suck it up till then. Fortunately, a lot of pros online already said that they're expecting the card to be banned, so they're planning for the post future anyway.
So there's only ever been three cards that have been banned, though. Emergency banned,
right?
Not just banned. There's lots of cards banned.
Yeah.
And those are Memory Jar when that was in standard, Peregrine Drake in the Pauper format, and then Felidar Guardian, which feels like it was just yesterday.
Andy, do you want to talk about your personal experience okay. with that?
So I'm really happy you brought that up. So the band Unrestricted announcement came out during the Aether Revolt. It was Aether Revolt, right? Yeah, because I think Felidar Guardians, Aether Revolt, Saheeli Rai was Kaladesh, right? Am I wrong here? I could
feel
be wrong.
Like, no, it was when, hold on, it was when Amon Khet came out.
Okay, so.
Yeah, it was when Amon Khet came out because you had bought four Saheeli Rai. You're like, this combo is safe to buy.
Well, no. So we waited for the banned and restricted announcement, and
correct.
That came.
You're correct.
It did not get banned.
Right.
And this is when Brian and I were really like in our heyday of playing competitive Magic. We were testing constantly. We were playing at the shops like 2-3 times a week. And so the banned and restricted announcement came out, and Felidar Guardian wasn't banned. So you could play the Felidar Guardian Saheeli Rai combo, and it's just blink infinitely. You're just going to win. And so I said, it didn't get banned. I guess I'm going to play this deck now, because the number of times I had already lost to it was infinitely great. I don't even know how many times I lost to it. So I said, well, I guess if you can't beat them, you join them. And they don't think it's important enough to ban. So I go up to our local game shop and I buy.
I'm sorry. I'm trying not to laugh, but I'm just like reliving this memory of us going up to the local game shop.
So we're literally testing, and we go, well, let's go up to our LGS. So we go up and I buy the whole deck. I buy the combo. I'm great. We're golden. Literally before I got home, I lived
like
15 minutes from the game shop. In that 15 minutes, there was the emergency ban announcement that Felidar Guardian was banned. I got home and was like,
no,
I just spent like $200 on this deck. Like, what do I do? And so I best LGS. I called them, the owner, super great guy. I was like, okay, I walked out of
his initials
shop.
Are DC.
DC. DC, great. I said, can you, like, what is there anything we can do here? And he was like, oh, bring him back. He's like, I'm absolutely not forcing that on you. He's like, bring the cards right back. We'll do a complete refund. Assuming you don't want any of those, he goes, the deck was banned before you got home.
Yeah, right?
He goes, I get why you bought them. He goes, because you thought it was safe. And obviously, they made a mistake here not doing that. So, bring it back. So I got a full refund. So that was, I was really nervous though, that I was just out a couple $100 though.
Yeah, yeah, because, yeah.
Oh, in like a 15 minute drive. But, I mean, the other cards are interesting that were banned. I mean, Peregrine Drake, we don't have the stats on it, or do you have any stats on that? But
no.
it was the majority. I mean, it was like over 50% of decks are playing Peregrine Drake, right? I mean, you weren't winning if you weren't playing a deck with Peregrine Drake and Pauper.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Memory Jar, that was before my time. That was a while ago, but I know that was also emergency banned. So asking for emergency bans is probably not likely going to happen. And I think that's what they're trying to reiterate, is unless something is severely broken, you can beat Hogak is the point. It's not so bad that you literally can't beat it. These cards were almost unbeatable.
Well, Memory Jar got emergency banned after there was a combo somewhere with like Necropotence. So they're like, oh, this is fine. Then they banned a bunch of stuff from that. And then Memory Jar just, they're like, okay, we can't do this. Gone.
Oh, so after bannings, Memory Jar became too good, and then they had to emergency ban that?
Or it wasn't even legal upon release.
Yeah,
so it that came out just after the Necropotence summer, which is like where Eldrazi Winter kind of draws its name from. I mean, I wasn't playing. I was just kind of reading up on its history, but Necropotence was like a combo deck that you could just draw essentially infinite cards with and then combo off with.
Okay.
Well, stuff from that got banned. I don't remember specific names, but then Memory Jar came out and they're like, nope, can't do this anymore. Memory Jar gone.
Oh, that's unfortunate. It's a really good card in Commander.
Oh, well, correct. Yeah.
I play that in Locust God. I like that a lot.
Oh, you like drawing cards in Locust God?
I like drawing cards in Locust God and then also throwing them away. And then getting my old hand back that draws me more cards. It's good stuff.
Wow.
So, sounds like we didn't have a very diverse Magic Fest Minneapolis. And I guess the next ban and restriction announcement is on the 26th. Do you think Hogak will be banned?
At first I was like, because I don't I haven't really followed Modern that much lately. I've just unfortunately had to take a reality break. I thought
weddings do that to you.
Yeah, right. I thought Altar of Dementia would get banned because it's an enabler. Like, I have this feeling about like Mox Opal and like Simeon Spirit Guide. Those cards have been banned a while ago, but they just eliminate too many decks and yada yada. Anyway, Altar of Dementia is not even played in the deck anymore. So I just think that Hogak himself, because he's such an enabler and payoff card, that he should just go. So
do you think that Bridge from Below should come back to help the Bridge Vine decks come back into being? Because I feel like if Hogak gets banned and Bridge from Below also stays banned, Bridge Vine doesn't come back. And Bridge from Below, was it played in much more other than Bridge Vine?
Yeah. Should it be unbanned? Absolutely. It was banned by Guilty as a, you know, as association with Hogak. I think that card should have been banned. Unfortunately, they couldn't ban, just for sale purposes, a card that had just been released, you know, back in June. So
sure.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think Hogak should go. And that is my opinion.
On Blogatog, Mark Rosewater's blog, he did mention powerful, like someone had asked a question about powerful cards and why I can't remember the exact question, but why a card in like green isn't normally as strong as cards that are printed in blue inherently. And that's, I think that's just a misconception. People think that blue is just broken. I think it's really strong. And his response was, we did that. It was a card that had delve and was black and green. And so I mean, that wasn't the, I can't remember the exact question, but even on Blogatog, he mentioned, well, we made a mistake card and it was delve. And I was listening to his Drive to Work podcast. So if you haven't listened to that, Mark Rosewater does a podcast where he drives to work. He records it. And he was talking about power creep. And one of his points was, making new cards stronger than the previous set obviously can't continue to happen, because that means set one is the worst, two's better, three's better than that, fourth better than that. And he's like, so some sets are inherently better than others. And he goes, but there's nothing we can do about the fact that we make a new cool mechanic for Standard and it breaks something forever ago. And he mentioned Delve is just a mechanic that unfortunately breaks old formats, because they have a much easier way of throwing stuff into the graveyard and making that card broken, whereas in Standard, it's not as easy to do that.
Right. When a card like Treasure Cruise is restricted in Vintage, that says a lot about that card, but more specifically about that mechanic.
Yeah, Delve is great. It's a cool mechanic. It was introduced, I believe, originally in Time Spiral. It might have been Future Sight in the Time Spiral block.
Future Sight, yep.
It was Future Sight, and great mechanic, but something that obviously interacts very negatively positively with older formats like the Modern format and Vintage and Legacy. But I guess something they're going to have to keep in mind in the future as they make more Delve cards.
Well, like Tombstalker was a borderline, I guess.
What Legacy is Tombstalker?
So it's a, it costs 6 colorless and 2 black. It's a flying, I believe it has trample. I'm not too sure on that, but it has Delve. That was borderline a staple in some Legacy decks, but as soon as they printed like cards like Tassigur and Gurgmag Angler, everybody thought that Gurgmag Angler was a huge joke, and then I think it was Patrick Chapin played it at Pro Tour, and then all of a sudden that card became real.
Yeah, Tombstalker, 6 colorless, black, flying, delve, it's a 5/5.
Okay, no trample. All right,
no trample, but that still, just for costing black.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
But that card, you know, has been since replaced by Gurgmag Angler in that slot because it costs one less, and it's not a legendary like Tassigur, so it doesn't suffer the same fate as Tassigur would with Krokus in Legacy. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, we digress, but it sounds like we're just going to have to wait for the banned and restricted announcement to see what happens.
Yeah,
so
we got a little under 2 weeks before we decide the fate of Hogak. So.
Yes. Next on the agenda, we have an esports announcement. So this came out like minutes before we were getting ready to head down to record the podcast. So we have not been able to dive headfirst into the announcement. But it does sound like they are trying to be, Wizards is trying to be far more transparent on what is required to enter the Pro Tour, the Magic Pro League. And I guess some headlines of what's coming based on the announcement are the Pro League will have a clear path to Pro with the addition of adding a Rivals League.
Which we'll get to in a minute.
Yes. Tabletop Magic will get an all-new regionalized championship structure with more than $2.5 million in prizes. Arena will be anchored with the Mythic Invitationals, three per season, each offering a $750,000 prize pool. It says the Magic World Championship remains the pinnacle of Magic competitive play and will feature the season's most accomplished arena and tabletop players vying for the game's top honor and $1 million prize pool. Among some other items, and I think the most important or one that seemed the most interesting is the Rivals League. So it says that this is going to be added as a stepping stone to get to the Pro League. So a lot of people have been complaining that they had no idea how to get into the Magic Pro League. They're like, well, what do I do now? Because you got rid of the competitions that we needed,
right?
And there's no more Pro Tour. So exactly. How do we get there? Like, are you picking people or can we only win on Arena now? Like, how does this work?
Yeah.
And
there was a lot of questions.
There were so many questions. And so they said they wanted to be far more transparent. And so it says the Rivals League is a talent development league that will feed into the Magic Pro League. Rivals will make it into the Magic Pro League either through sustained success over the course of a season or through an exciting new tournament called the Magic Pro League Gauntlet. Now, this post is really long. And there's like, I feel like there's like 18 subheaders in this post.
Right.
And we haven't, like we said, this came out just before we were heading to record. So we have not been, we're probably going to touch base on this next week some more. But it says the Rivals League will consist of 46 players as follows. The first through 12th ranked digital players that were not in the Pro League previously. The first through 12th ranked tabletop players not in the Pro League. The bottom 12 players from the Magic Pro League Gauntlet. The bottom 4 players from the Magic Pro League season. And 6 discretionary invites, meaning streamers or perhaps someone who is accomplished but didn't hit these qualifiers.
Ooh, maybe we could get invited.
You know what, guys? We might be in the Magic Pro League. Okay. Maybe we'll make it.
We're pro podcasters, that's for sure.
That's for sure. So there's a lot more to come. If you haven't checked it out, you
that's
can find
said.
It through the Magic Esports Twitter account. It is posted online. It's a long article, but there's a lot more good stuff, as well as mentioning that there's a Cryptic Command promo now for, I believe it's not even the Rivals League. I didn't get that far, but there's a promo coming out for Cryptic Command that I may have to get now for my Noriandar foil deck to get the promo now. So
just get the full art one. That one's the best.
Although is it foil?
Yeah.
Is
it's
it?
A full art foil. It's like the hand, the blue hand.
Oh, okay. It looks like it is for the players. Oh, wait. There's also a players tour now. I haven't been able to read this whole thing. There's a players tour, our single day tournaments where the winner will qualify for the pro tour, for the players tour, similar to the Mythic Championship qualifiers, which feels like we're just going back to pre-pro tour qualifiers. And I mean, it feels like it's the same structure. They just renamed it.
Yeah, it's just rebranding.
Magic That's Fest fine, Grand rebranding. Yeah. We like rebranding. Yeah. Sometimes you just need to refresh yourself and people think it's different and it's really just the same thing, just looks nicer. A facelift.
I need a facelift for sure.
One would say a facelift. So it's Cryptic Command, but it's the one with the hand. It's the hand art.
From Iconic. From Misters.
Is that, yeah, and it's...
Iconic.
It's like, talk to the hand. But
talk to the hand.
It's Cryptic Command. Good stuff.
With a hand.
Another with a hand and like this weird, this weird like circly squiggly thing design. You know what I'm talking about? It's like a circle with four squiggles on it.
It is the Cryptic Command.
People listening are like trying to picture a circle with squiggles now.
Yeah.
Describing a card by
I know just my magic life because I play with Japanese cards. Just a line with a squiggle.
A line with a squiggle. Yeah. What does that card do? It's cryptic command. Talk to the hand.
Yeah, talk to the hand.
Talk to the hand. So that is the esports update. Obviously, a huge update. More to come. Likely lots of questions will be answered in the next couple of days. And we will touch base on this next week.
The base has been touched.
Yes.
But next week. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. What's next?
Commander 2019.
Okay, so there's some competitions coming up. Well, I guess like leagues.
Yeah, Battle League. So a couple of LGSs are doing what they call a Commander like Battle League. Some names may vary, but basically you buy a Commander deck, the pre-con decks, and you battle with it.
And it's just the weekend of release. It's release weekend, right?
Oh, correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's... More or less, it's like a release event, but there's some rules that change with it. You basically build a precon, and then all the commanders, the precon commanders, have partner. So they begin all three legends in the command zone, and then all three legendary creatures are treated as though they have the partner ability, so which says each commander can search their library for that card.
No. So each one just sits in the command zone as if it had partner.
Oh, okay.
And you can just cast them each individually.
I'm thinking of partner with.
Partner with. Yeah, no. This is just one of our shops is treating them as if all three of them had partner. All three of those commanders can be cast at any time, ignoring how many times the other two have been cast. They each had their respective command right. attacks as well. So that's pretty cool. And so it sounds like you just sleeve up the precon. You can't upgrade it.
Yep.
And basically just, you can switch between them. You can use any of the four, all four. You can play, you can switch and play like, I don't know, 10 games. You're basically playing till the end of the day. And the person with the most points or the most wins at the end gets some prizes, at least at one of the, least at one of our game shops. So that seems pretty cool as a different way to play the pre-cons.
It's a good way to get incentivized people to buy it for sure.
And I think it's also a good way to get people who might be new or someone who picks up the deck specifically because they know they want to build it. Let's say they don't even want to use the face card and they're like, I want to use this commander. Like in the Naya deck, there's the secondary commander Marisi, which is when it deals damage to a player, you goad all creatures. Well, I guess whenever a creature you control deals damage to a player, you goad all their creatures. It's probably a really good way to...
What is goad?
Goad is all of that player's creatures must attack the next turn and they cannot attack you.
Ooh.
It's really fun. I think goad's a really underrated mechanic, but there haven't been a ton of goad cards.
Yeah.
But for example, I think that's a good way for people to learn that they might like a different commander from that precon because you can just cast it and you're like, well, I don't know if this is going to be good at this particular moment. And it ends up being really strong. I mean, a lot of people pick up those precons because they have one of those commanders in mind to play or to build.
Yeah.
But when you can cast all three because they all have partner.
Right.
At least in this event, this special event.
Yeah, just another fun way to play commander.
Yeah. So I will probably be playing in that event, actually. So I'm excited about that. Yeah, I have all four on pre-order. I am always building too many commander decks.
Tell me about it.
Brian is always picking up cards for me. It's his favorite thing to do. Tell them. Tell the listeners it's your favorite thing.
Don't lie. It's the least favorite thing. It took me an hour and a half to build Nick's deck today, which, by the way, we're going to have as a special guest later today. DM Nick is back.
DM Nick is coming back.
We had to bump him last week, and I feel really bad, but we set its time aside for
we're
him
gonna
today.
We're going to make time for him this week.
For sure.
So from the new set, do you have a specific commander that you're excited to build? Because I don't think we touched on this last week.
No, we didn't have the full spoiler out. I think most of it is out now.
Yeah, no, I think they're all out now. I think the only one that wasn't out, right, was the Jeskai deck. Or was that the one that had come out that day? One of them was not out, and I can't remember which one. But they're now all officially spoiled.
I don't have a particular one. I would say... I would say Trostani, but I know that's already like pretty much a pre-con already, or I'm sorry, a pre-built deck anyway. I just really like Token. So something out of the Naya deck is probably my favorite.
It's funny you say that because I also am building one of the commanders from the Naya deck. So I'm building the Marisi Breaker of the Coil. So I was reading the flavor or like the lore on it, and apparently Marisi worked for Nicol Bolas during the Shards of Alara block. And Coil, the C-O-I-L is the name of the law for the Nakatls. Like, that's like what they called the law. And apparently he broke the law.
He broke the coil.
Was trying to like, I can't remember I don't want to get this one wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, come on, story boy.
I don't want to get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure that Marisi, was the one who killed Ajani's brother.
Johnny has a brother?
Not anymore. Spoiler alert.
Good point. Wow. Way to bring up lore that happened 11 years ago. Oh,
man. No, I'm pretty sure that when I was reading the article on this, that Marisi is the person who killed Ajani's brother. If I'm wrong, please don't hurt me. I'm looking it up right now just to confirm that I was right.
May somebody be ever more vengeant than Ajani was when his brother died, when they hurt you.
Right. But so anyway, this is the deck that I'm building. So it has your opponents cannot, the first ability is your opponents cannot cast spells during combat. That's strong. That's really great.
That is really strong.
I like it a lot. And then it also says whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, goad each creature that player controls. So I mean, like, if you're playing with flying creatures, you have a better chance of hitting or unblockable. You play Whisper Silk Cloak.
I would like to hit that, yes.
Rogue's Passage. Yes. I would like to hit that. That should be what I call the deck.
Hit that.
And so anyway, it's a deck that you're aiming to swing at one of your opponents and then force them to swing out. They cannot swing at you. That's what Goad says. They must attack, but they must attack someone other than you.
And so political.
They have to swing out, which leaves them open for everybody else to swing back at them. But if you can do it right and you can get three creatures, let's say you're playing a four-person game and you can hit each of the three people, they all have to swing at each other the next turn. And it's not going to be fun for them. And the person to your left, directly to your left, is in the worst position because they're the one who's going to get blocked.
Not unless you switch the turn order with Aeon Engine.
That is true. So that could happen. But the person who's to your right is in they're in the best position. Obviously the worst because they're going to have to swing out, and then chances are you can swing back at them and they're going to be constantly goaded. But I'm excited to build this deck. And I think the other one that I'm excited to build is the face commander for the Sultai deck, Kadena, Slinking Sorcerer. It's the morph commander. So, you can play your first morph for free. And then whenever you play a face down creature, you draw a card. The first creature you cast each turn costs three less. Is that what Kadena says?
I believe it's either the first murph or first colorless creature.
And you say murph?
Murph. I like murphins.
Murphins.
Mighty murphin time.
I think Talarian, the professor from Talarian Community College, is going to be on the Command Zone, and their promo, he's playing Kadena and he goes, "It's morphin' time."
Nice. I like him already.
So you play that commander with Leyline of Anticipation and Videlkin Orrery, and you can cast basically a morph for free on each player's turn because you can cast them for three less.
I like stuff that costs less.
It's great, but I also don't like picking up cards that are likely staples for the deck for way more than they're worth, like Ixidor. Okay, so Kadena does say the first face down creature spell you cast costs three less, so it's really your morphs cost three less, so your first morph is free. The first one, and then whenever a face down creature enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. So I think those are the two that I'm most excited to build. I had you pick up for me today. That's why Brian mentioned that. I sent him a list of cards to pick up for me today that he apparently took a while to get.
took a while indeed.
Oh, okay, so out of curiosity, though, I digress. How many commander decks do you get per day, per week, would you say, working out in LGS?
Per day, 3.
3 a day, you think?
Yes.
Full list? Okay, how many cards are you saying? Because I probably... Okay, so for the one deck, you got a full list. But for most of the time when I send you a list, I probably send you like 30 cards.
Like
I might have a lot of them.
Okay, so like I would say if it were three different lists, it'd probably be about, on average, 75 cards. Like 75 cards per list.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. Well, okay, do you find that a lot of them are the same, though? Like, at this time of the year, are you getting, I want Ixidor, and I want this one Morph Creature. Like, I need a Den Protector, so you guys pull out a bunch that you think you're going to get, or do you not do that? I'm just curious.
Commander players are becoming, they're a little bit predictable, and, like, when a new Legendary creature is unspoiled, like, they want to build it. Like, that's fine. Like,
story of my life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Take my money.
Especially this time in the summer with Corset, there's a lot of Legendaries, and then obviously with Commander, there's a ton of Legendaries.
Absolutely.
Now all the rage, I don't know if it's all of a sudden or just whatever, but it's budget Commander, and it's, you know, some, it depends on like what tier your playgroup plays. Some is $25, some is $50 or whatever. But just in the last day alone, I think I built like 6 or 7 budget Commanders.
Really?
Yeah.
So we just did that. I that's what Brian was mentioning. He picked up a deck for me. He built one for my husband. A bunch of us got together, and we put a $25 restriction on the deck, okay, which is really fun to build, because you're playing with the cards that you would have put in your deck, but they just cost like 5 mana more than another creature that does something very similar.
Yep.
So you're a lot of commanders, you're able to do the same exact thing. It just, you have to wait until like turn 10 instead of turn 5.
Yeah.
So you're seeing an increase in budget Commander. I think Commander as a format is the most successful format right now for Magic.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the game has definitely become more casual, at least at an LGS level, just because people just want to keep shelling out hundreds of dollars on a rotating format. They just, you know, they'd rather just put that money in something that they could play with their friends.
Although they probably still are, because you want, I mean, a lot of people are playing on Arena. And either you're grinding or you're spending like the $100 to open up a bunch of packs, and you make one good deck based on the wild cards that you got. So I think right now Standard is still getting, I guess, Wizard of the Coast is still receiving the same amount of revenue, whether it's in paper or digital.
Right.
But for Commander players, a lot of us are still picking up those singles, and maybe they aren't buying as many boxes. But I know, I mean, the number of times I see someone walk in that's like, I would like your pack deal, please. And they buy 3 packs for whatever price it is. I mean, that happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I work at, it's a majority comic store, but, you know, I would say the majority of our sales, not necessarily revenue, is from Magic. But, you know, people from a different nerd culture, if you will, look at Magic weird, and they're like, why are you spending $10 to open like a random pack? Because it's like, it's the equivalent of opening, like, you can open the first appearance of like Wolverine, which is a really expensive book, or you can get like, you know, issue 337 of some random comic that doesn't sell that well.
Sure.
It's a lottery that you play.
Wait, right? Is that a thing you guys have, like random packs of comic books?
No, I'm just saying that's like,
oh,
it's like the,
that's a fun, you should do that though.
Oh, we should. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. It's like, what is the one look the LGS do? It's the like every,
so they do like repacks, and
repacks,
it's like one in every, I think it's like one in every 20 packs, there's like a card that has like a hole punch in it, and the hole punch, you bring it up to them and they have like a whole binder full of cards, and they match it up with the other card that has it, and there's a prize you can win. So sometimes there's like a $10, you know, shopping spree. Sometimes there's a full set of Legends, or a full set of,
I wish.
Yeah, right. Or, I mean, I know right now, what's the set that Force of Will was originally printed in?
Alliances.
There's a full set of Alliances that's sitting in the case, because it is a prize. It's a prize that goes with their repack. So if you get that one, you get a full set of Alliances.
You get one full,
well, it's Force of Will, but there's another card in there. It's a land card. It's,
oh,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, the card that was in like Omnath for a while. excavation. No, I know what you're talking about.
So there's like two really, really expensive cards in that set. The set itself is a couple $100 if you were to buy an entire set.
Yeah.
And like, that's one way to do that. But no, that'd be really cool to do that with a, I mean, I don't collect comic books personally, but I know there's a, I mean, there's a huge you know, following out there for comic books.
It always ends up on the news as like, this is a good investment. You should invest in comics. And it's, you know, better returns than the stock market.
Honestly. My dad has a comic book collection downstairs at his house. And I know that he wants to go through and price it all out. I mean, there are hundreds of comic books down there. That would take so much time.
It would take forever.
All right. We have a new segment today that I'm going to have Brian introduce.
It's called, we're going to call it Celebrity Magic, where I'm going to quiz Andy on which 10 celebrities play Magic the Gathering and have openly admitted to playing.
Admitted to? It's a sweet game.
It is a very sweet game.
You're actually a cool kid if you play Magic the Gathering now.
And collect comic books, apparently.
I wish that I could be like the cool... Is that the lyrics? See? That fits. Yeah. So you're going to give me clues for me to guess a celebrity that plays Magic the Gathering.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be a train wreck. I am so bad. I'm the guy that goes, you know that person from that movie that did that thing? And then everybody goes, I have no idea who you're talking about because you gave the most generic clues. I hope these are a little more specific than ones that I would give.
We're hoping to go with 50% or more.
Okay.
Guess, you know, correctly. Okay.
How many guesses do I get? Do I get like two guesses? What do we want to limit this so that it goes?
Yeah, we'll do like two guesses.
Okay, I get two guesses. And, okay.
Okay, the first one. All right, you ready? Number 10. We'll go. No, number one. Number 10. Whatever.
Which one is your, pick your favorite for last.
All right, so this is number one. So this is probably the most famous nerd of all time. Your husband, he was featured on a show your husband loves, Star Trek The Next Generation, and he played Wesley Crusher.
Are there more clues?
He was also in the movie Stand By Me.
I've never seen that.
What?
And I've never watched an episode of Star Trek.
Well, that's a little bit more understandable. But
this is a really rough one for me to try to guess.
That's why we're getting it out now.
So is this person, are they male or female?
Male. They have their initials are the same. Same letter.
Their initials are the same letter?
First name, last name.
I can't think of their name. There's only one person I know that's ever been in Star Trek. And I believe that was Whoopi Goldberg. And she was only a small supporting character at one point in time.
Yeah, fun fact, she was such a huge... So Whoopi Goldberg was such a Trekkie that she requested to be on...
That's what I heard!
On Star Trek Generation.
And
Next
I knew
Generation.
That because my husband told me this.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
But there's another person, and it's a guy, and I can't think of his name. At all. So I don't know this one. You're going to have to just tell me.
Will Wheaton.
I would never have gotten that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right. Well, okay. So it's only one. It's only one. Okay. I got nine more chances. Okay. I got nine more shots.
Okay. Get it out.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Shake it out.
Shake it out. Just like Taylor Swift.
Shake it out.
Okay. This person is, I guess, slightly more famous. Is a co-writing partner by the name of Adam Goldberg. They have co-wrote and or starred in Knocked Up.
Okay. Does that have Seth Rogen in it? Is it Seth Rogen?
It is Seth Rogen.
He's played Magic?
He has played Magic, yeah.
Does he actively or...
No, he said that he played it back in high school, but... He also appeared on Spellslingers, which is a YouTube channel, you know, that I don't believe exists anymore, but a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got one, you guys.
All right, so we're at 50%.
We are at 50% of the ones given, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next one. Ready?
I'm ready.
She made... You're going to get this one. I believe in you.
Oh, okay.
She is not the creator of, but made the cup dance or cup...
Anna Kendrick.
There you go.
She played Magic too?
She did. She played it on... I think it was on camera, but she played it at PAX East, and she has openly admitted to playing Magic.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Pitch Perfect star.
Pitch Perfect with Magic.
And also the star of my dreams. Sorry, Angela, I love you, but if Anna Kendrick ever came knocking, I would leave you in a heartbeat.
Wow. Sorry, Angela. We love you. Wow. Okay, so I am 2 for 3.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you. Now it gets a little bit harder.
That's like my Magic record at F&M.
Fair enough.
I go 2-1.
I would go 2-0 and then just drop. Okay, so this one's a little bit harder. This one is a former UFC. Shout out to our producer, Ryan, who has an interview with the UFC. Sorry, a little spoiler alert. He's a UFC former UFC fighter, former champion. He goes by the nickname the Baby-Faced Assassin. Mr. Fleury, name that fighter.
I have literally no idea who this is. But I could Google it real quick and probably get it, but I'm not going to. I don't know who this is. I don't know UFC at all. That's like
you
what?
Don't know mixed,
That's mixed martial arts, right?
That is mixed martial arts.
See, I know that much.
It's a mixed bag of martial arts.
I have no idea.
Josh Barnett.
Okay.
Cool. All right, moving on. All right. I just want to get that to 50%. We're getting the hard ones out of the way.
All right, I'm still 50% now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're still passing our college course. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, this one's a little bit easier. He appeared in an episode of The Spellslingers. That's not really your clue.
Okay.
But he is a co-star of a very cult classic show called Serenity. No, I'm sorry. Firefly, and then the movie Serenity. He is also a recurring voice actor on a lot of Disney films. Did you just Google that, you jerk?
I did, but I can't even find someone's name. I can picture the guy. I know who it is.
Yes.
I do not know his
name. Wedding tradition.
I don't know his name.
His initials are AT. Like your
is his
Twitter
name
handle.
Adam? Is his name... our producer would like to actually cut in real quick.
All right.
And he would like to guess. Producer Ryan?
Alan Tudyk.
Yes. Yes, he got it. All right. We're going to give that to you anyway. Because
yeah, I'm 3 for 5.
Okay. The next one. You ready?
Okay.
Also kind of a famous nerd, but he's not really a nerd, but he kind of comes off like a nerd. He tweeted directly at Magic the Gathering's official Twitter page that he played Magic the Gathering. He is also a former star of Serenity and Firefly, and you can also catch him on The Rookie, a TV show about being a police officer.
Producer Ryan has raised his hand once more. Producer Ryan.
Nathan Fillion.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, see, we got it.
I am 4 for... There was 6, right?
Yeah, there.
I'm 4 for 6 now, you guys. Producer Ryan and I are the same person, so I get all of his points.
All right, this one's maybe a little bit harder. We'll see. He is good friends with Brian David Marshall, who handles a lot of coverage for Magic the Gathering events.
Mm-hmm.
He starred in the movie 500 Days of Summer. Also,
producer Ryan has already picked up his mic.
Also, The Dark Knight Rises.
What?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Okay. There you go.
Okay.
He has a very extensive magic collection. He owns a Black Lotus. Do you know what that card does?
I do. It's
do you know
really
what the value
good.
Of that card is? He has an expensive magic collection.
Do you want to tell everybody what it does and what it costs?
So it's a zero-cost artifact originally printed in the original set of Magic.
Alpha.
And it is a zero-cost artifact that taps for 3 mana of any color.
Any one color, right?
One color.
Yeah, that's great. I wish
it's
I owned
okay.
it. It's okay.
It's okay. Okay. So the next one, this was number 7, right? So we got 3 more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here we go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure you're ready?
Yeah.
Are you just lying to me?
I'm not lying.
Okay. on an episode of his famous, very famous show that's in syndication on pretty much any cable channel.
Is it King of Queens? That's a good show.
It is the show is named after the comedian.
Frasier?
Nope, that's not his name. That's, okay, we'll count that as your first guess.
That's not his name. Wait, is it? It's a first and last name, or is it just a first name or just a last name?
So it's just a last name.
Just a last name?
Is the name of the show.
Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Really? I got one?
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza, who's Jason Alexander, uh-huh. both played a game off camera, and you can actually see in one of the episodes, it's sitting in like a crate in the background of an episode.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to go look that. We'll tweet that later if we can find that image.
Yep. Moving on. So this person is also kind of a famous internet celebrity, if you will. She was a star of the internet on YouTube called The Guild. She's also a special guest star on the show hit show Supernatural. Famous redhead. Probably, I would say, one of the more famous female nerds.
Was she in anything else that you can think of?
Probably, but I can't really think of anything.
I have no idea who this is. We're going to do a quick search to see if there's any other clues that can be given on this person. Okay, so I'm seeing an image with no name, and I've never seen this person before in my life. I probably have. Well, show producer Ryan, he can guess based on the image. This is great podcasting. We're looking at images of a redhead that I cannot guess the name of. No, we don't got it. Who is this celebrity?
Felicia Day.
Oh, I know the name. Now I can put a face to the name. Are you going to say bye, Felicia?
That would have been perfect. Bye, Felicia. Bye, Andy. Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
All right.
And then this is... Are we on 10 now?
That was number...
That was 8?
That was 8. Yeah, okay. So we got 2 more.
Okay.
Okay, so this person hasn't really started much lately.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I'm at a disadvantage. I know pop culture.
He was the star of Superman Returns.
Oh, producer Ryan is ready. I mean, that was the fastest I've ever seen a mic shoot to someone's face.
Go ahead, buddy.
Brandon Routh.
Yeah. He also, yeah.
Wow.
I feel like I should have just played it with Ryan.
Yeah, this should have been producer Ryan plays, and I guess every once in a while. I'm proud of the two that I got. No, I got 3.
I won't be able to do much about magic, but yeah. Pop culture and actors. Yeah, I'm on board. Yeah. I'm with you.
Heck yeah. All right, so that's number 9.
Okay,
right?
And this is the you save best for last?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, not best for last, but another one for sure.
Yeah, I think the best one was Anna Kendrick, in my opinion, but that's just because I love Anna Kendrick and anything that she does.
Okay.
So let us go with...
Clue me.
Scrolling through the huge list. Ooh. Star of... No, you wouldn't get this one. Loves Magic appeared on an episode of The Spellslingers. She is a famous blogger.
Should I just Google famous blogger woman?
She wrote the webcomic Hyperbole and a Half.
I need more.
No, nothing.
Producer Ryan and I are both shaking our heads. No, we're not there yet.
She wrote a book called Hyperbole and a Half, Unfortunate Situations, Flawed Coping Mechanisms, Mayhem, and Other Things That Happened.
All right, another clue.
She has appeared on WTF with Mark Maron.
Nope.
Nothing?
Nope. You just have to give this one to the listeners.
Her name is Ellie Brosh. She's a famous vlogger and web artist.
Famous vlogger and web artist. All right. I don't know who that is, but now I'm going to have to go check her out.
Got him. All right. What was our total on that one? Was that?
So that was 10. And I think we're going to say that we got half of them.
Nice.
We got exactly what you wanted. The combined forces of me and producer Ryan got there.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
The Seinfeld one was really good though. Those clues.
Oh yeah.
I'm impressed that I got it. I almost went with Everybody Loves Raymond thinking it was.
I mean, that would have been a good guess.
I mean, that was another good one, but I was just trying to think of shows with the person's name. So
there are a lot of those.
There are a lot of those. So, I think that's the end of our show this week.
Already?
I know.
Zip.
So that's a wrap on episode 9, but we turn 10 next week.
We forgot Nick again. He's gonna be very mad at us.
I cannot believe you're bumping him again.
I'm not bumping him. Time bumped him.
But we hit double digits next week.
Ooh.
So
how old are we? How many is double digits?
10. Two whole digits in our show.
So
we'll have something special in store, likely including producer Ryan again.
What?
Woo woo. So woo-woo. If you would like to contact us, you can find us on Twitter. Take a look for hashtag Guardian Project Pod for our episodes. We like to hear from you, so send along your comments and any topics you'd like us to talk about, and we'll address them. You can email us at theguardianprojectpod@gmail.com, and you can find me at @ATFlory.
And me at @BallerManCometh.
Thank you for joining us, and we will talk to you next week at our 10th birthday party.
I like 10th birthday parties. They were the best.
They were. I think we went and saw like a movie or something.
I think I got like Pokemon Stadium.
Oh, that was a really good birthday present.
Yeah, correct. And I got an X64. I'm more excited about Pokemon Stadium.
All right, well, I expect a good birthday present like that next week, so come prepared. Bye.
Bye.
And that's it. That was a wrap on 9.
Wrap it up.
Yes.
45 minutes.
36 minutes. Are you kidding me right now? Wow, that was a long episode.
Long episode.
Ooh. Wow, I like it long.